Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details. Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
This is The Big Breakdown, a long look back at some of the biggest stories we're covering for you at the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
There is a woman named Coral Michelle Smith who is wanted, as of this recording, by the Pima County Sheriff's Department for kidnapping and aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. The alleged incident happened at the intersection of River Road and La Coya Boulevard in Tucson, Arizona, on May 29th. That intersection sits roughly 6.8 miles from the home where 84-year-old Nancy Guthrie was taken in the early morning hours of February 1st. Does it seem like I'm not really, truly, honestly being excited about this? Good, because I'm not. That was false excitement. Because this is a case where it's easy to get excited about information when you don't have any. And you may be seeing some buzz about this story. We're going to explain this story. We're going to go through this story. Because when you hear, oh my God, somebody who's kidnapped people before is wanted, and this is 6.8 miles from where Nancy Guthrie lives? Whoa! That's actually the whole reason you're hearing about Coral Michelle Smith is because it's 6.8 miles from where Nancy Guthrie lives, which is not, it's not super far. But it also encompasses a major metropolitan area with hundreds of thousands of people. And within the hundreds of thousands of people, there are criminals. You're hearing about it not because it's a connection. Authorities have said explicitly that there is no connection between Smith and what happened to Nancy Guthrie. The FBI has drawn no link. The Sheriff's Department has drawn no link. I know there's not a lot of weight on the Sheriff's Department. Every outlet that has reported on the story has included that disclaimer because it is the truth. There is no link. But the headline that puts the word kidnapping in the words Nancy Guthrie's home in the same sentence doesn't need a connection to land like a freight train. It just needs proximity. And right now, in a community that's been living without answers for months, proximity is enough. Doesn't mean it leads anywhere, but proximity is enough to get attention here in this case. So I wanted to do a story on this, not because, oh my God, this is going to lead somewhere to find Nancy Guthrie, but no, because, oh my God, let's stop the freight train of misinformation as quickly as we can, because I hate misinformation. I really, it's a pet peeve of mine. That's why I like to inform you on the cases at a deeper level so you can better understand them and better react and make better decisions with your own brain, because you have the tools to do so, because you have the backstory, because you get how the machine works. Now, it may not always equal the most clicks for our channel, but it certainly informs you better. And that's ultimately the goal here. That and bringing justice and truth to power. So let's be responsible of what this story is. And now let me explain it all to you so you get it. So you don't find yourself going down a rabbit hole for 3 hours going, oh my God, when there's really not a lot to go, oh my God, about. Okay? So let's talk about what the story actually is, what the evidence actually shows, and why it matters, even though it has nothing to do with Nancy, because you may come across someone who's like, but what about this? What about that? But here's why. Here's everything the public knows about what happened on May 29th at River and the Cloa. I'm probably saying that street name wrong. Here's what happened. Almost nothing. The Pima County Sheriff's Department issued a be on the lookout alert for Coral Michelle Smith. They named the charges kidnapping and aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. They gave the location and a date. And then according to every outlet that pressed for more, Fox News Digital, KOLD, News 13, every wire service had picked it up. The department declined to release additional details about the incident. No victim identification or identified, no circumstances described, no narrative of what actually happened at the intersection, just a name, two charges, and a bolo flyer with a physical description and a list of tattoos. That's the entire public record of the May 29th incident as of right now. What isn't a mystery is who Coral Michelle Smith is. Her criminal history in Pima County stretches back more than 15 years, and it tells you everything you need to know about the kind of offender she allegedly is, even if the sheriff won't tell you what happened on May 29th. According to KOLD News 13's records check, Smith has been in prison four separate times in 2013, 14, 2020, and 2023, all for different cases. In 2011, she was convicted of robbery and sentenced to probation. That probation was revoked in 2014, a disorderly conduct conviction. In 2019, she faced kidnapping and drug charges in a case where court records listed the individual involved as under 15 years old. The kidnapping charge was dismissed through a plea deal. She was convicted of residential robbery instead and sentenced to prison, and in 2021, a criminal trespass conviction, probation. It was revoked. In 2022, she was convicted of attempted vehicle theft, and a third-degree burglary charge was dismissed, probation again, revoked again. In 2023, she pled guilty to aggravated assault with physical injury, went back to prison. She's used multiple aliases over the years, including Coral Albright, Coral Albright Smith, and I'm not making this up, Under the Sea Smith. That is a record of someone cycling through the criminal justice system on opportunistic, close-range, interpersonal offenses, and probably a personality disorder or eight, in my opinion. Robbery, trespass, vehicle theft, assault, every crime in that history is chaotic, impulsive, and connected to people or situations she was already near. This is not the profile of someone who conducts pre-dawn surveillance on a home in an affluent residential neighborhood, arrives with a holstered handgun, a ski mask, gloves, and a specific model of backpack purchased from a Walmart, and removes an 84-year-old woman from her house in what the evidence suggests was a planned operation. Those are two completely different categories of criminal behavior, and the physical evidence makes the gap even wider. The FBI's forensic analysis of the doorbell camera footage from Nancy Guthrie's home describes the porch suspect as male, approximately 5'9 to 5'10 with an average build. He was wearing a black 25-liter Ozark Trail hiker pack, backpack, a ski mask, gloves, and a zip-up jacket. During the footage, which the suspect reached up to cover the camera with brush, he'd grab from the yard because he wasn't prepared for the camera. He didn't know it was there, and he improvised. What appears to be a tattoo became visible on his right wrist. That detail has been flagged repeatedly by analysts as a potential key identifier. Coral Michelle Smith, what does she look like? Does that meet her description? Well, she's described as 5'6", 136 pounds. It's 4 inches shorter than the person on Nancy's porch. She has blonde hair and blue eyes. She has several tattoos, a smiley face and a heart on her right ankle, a rose with flames on her right foot, and the phrase "love, life, family" on her left leg. But she has no tattoo on her wrist. Fox News digital reporter Michael Ruiz flagged that specifically. Fox News legal contributor Josh Ritter, who has been following the Guthrie case closely, noted the same discrepancy from the wanted person flyer. The person on Nancy Guthrie's porch appears to have a wrist tattoo. Coral Michelle Smith does not. She is 4 inches too short, and even the analysis and analysts who have floated the possibility that the Guthrie porch suspect could be female have acknowledged that Smith is notably shorter than the figure on the porch. So it ain't her. The physical description doesn't match. The criminal profile doesn't match. The location doesn't match. River Road and the Coa is a commercial intersection, a quarter of strip malls and traffic and gas stations. Nancy was taken from a quiet residential home in the Catalina foothills before dawn. Whatever happened at that intersection on May 29th happened in a public high traffic environment that has nothing in common with the circumstances of Nancy's disappearance. The headline says these two events are neighbors. The evidence says they're not even in the same universe. Because again, like I said, ooh, miles apart, 7 miles. It's a lot of ground in a major metropolitan area, hundreds of thousands of people. I tell you what, I bet there's several murderers within that group of hundreds of thousands of people that have nothing to do with Nancy Guthrie. There's a little bit of everything. It was like found within a block. In the neighborhood of, not same zip code. It's a lot of people. The headline exists, though, and it's spread like wildfire, and the reason it spread has nothing to do with Coral Michelle Smith and everything to do with what's happened. More accurately, what hasn't happened in the Guthrie investigation. I mean, think about what that 7-mile radius actually means in a city the size of Tucson. The metro area has a population of over 1 million people. The city proper is home to more than 500,000. Draw a circle with a 7-mile radius around any single point in that metro area, and you are capturing hundreds of thousands of residents, dozens of neighborhoods with completely different demographic and crime profiles, and statistically speaking, violent incidents that have absolutely nothing to do with each other. Catalina Foothills, where Nancy lives, has a violent crime rate well below the national average. It's an affluent, low-density community of roughly 55,000 people nestled against the Catalina Mountains. But 7 miles out of that community, you're in an entirely different version of Tucson. The city's overall crime rate runs above the national average. The idea that a crime 7 miles away from a specific address must somehow be connected to a crime at the address doesn't hold up against basic math. It's proximity. It is not evidence. But it doesn't feel that way. And I understand why, because when an investigation goes 4 months without a named suspect, without an arrest, without any public indication of when a resolution is coming, every crime that happens anywhere near that address gets pulled into its gravitational field. The Guthrie case has created a vacuum, and the Smith bolo got sucked into it. If there were an arrest in the Guthrie case, if there were a prosecution underway, if the public had any sense that the investigation was approaching a conclusion, the Coral Michelle Smith story would have run as a local crime blotter item and stayed there. A career offender with a long record, wanted for another alleged offense, that's Tucson on a Tuesday. It became a national headline because the audience and the community are desperate for something to hold on to. And when you're desperate, a kidnapping bolo 7 miles from Nancy Guthrie's front door feels like it means something, even when the evidence says it doesn't. That desperation is real. And it's legitimate. And it's there. I'm not faulting anyone for feeling it. Savannah Guthrie has talked publicly about what this has been like for her family. She took more than 2 months away from the Today Show during the early stages of the investigation and has spoken about the difficulty of returning to work while her mother is still missing. The Guthrie family continues to ask anyone with information about Nancy's case to call the FBI. 1-800-CALL-FBI. The reward money has climbed past $1.2 million, and every day that passes without answers makes the next headline, whatever it is, land harder than it should. But there is a legitimate story buried inside the Smith case, and it has nothing to do with Nancy Guthrie. It has to do with the system that was supposed to prevent Coral Michelle Smith from being in a position to allegedly hurt anyone else, because that system had every piece of information it needed. It had the convictions, it had the pattern, and it still didn't work. You already heard the record, 15 years of it. Four prison stints, probation revoked twice, kidnapping charges involving a child that got pled down, a pattern that escalated from robbery to assault to another kidnapping. And at every single stage, the Pima County criminal justice system processed Coral Michelle Smith and put her back on the street. After all that, after every conviction and every revoked probation and every dismissed charge, she was free on May 29th to allegedly do it again. That's not a Nancy Guthrie story. That's a Pima County story. That's a story about the system that treats repeat violent offenders like a revolving door and then acts surprised when someone walks back through it. Whoever was allegedly taken at that intersection on May 29th, and we don't know who they are because the sheriff's department won't release those details or what even happened, that person deserves better than a system that had 15 years of evidence telling it exactly who Coral Michelle Smith was and still let her be in a position to allegedly do this again. Reward for information leading to Smith's arrest is $1,000. If you see her, you're asked to call 911 immediately. Anonymous tips can go to Tucson's 88 Crime Hotline. I've had, she regrets, the likelihood of her being found out now are pretty high, considering it's getting national attention for whatever that was, because of a crime completely unrelated to it. These are two separate cases. They share nothing except a zip code in a community that has been living on edge since the first week of February. Nancy Guthrie's family is still waiting. The DNA evidence is reportedly still being processed at a forensic lab. The FBI is reportedly still working technical and forensic leads. The person who took Nancy from her home is still unidentified, still unnamed, and still out there. And 7 miles away, a woman, the justice system had more than a decade of a reason to stop and keep behind bars, allegedly proved that the system failed somebody else, too. Everybody following this case doesn't need these two stories to be connected to feel the weight of it. An 84-year-old woman taken from her home, and 4 months later, her family still has no answers. A separate alleged kidnapping 7 miles away by a career offender. The system kept releasing. Neither story has a resolution. Both stories have a common thread. People who deserve to be protected. And institutions that didn't get it done. That's the part that should stay with you. Not the 7 miles, not the headline. The silence where answers should be. And the revolving door that never should have kept spinning. Give me your thoughts in the comment section. On Substack and YouTube, I'd love to continue our conversation right there. Those links are in the description. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you're listening or watching as well. Until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast. This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi and Robin Drake.
At this point, the Nancy Guthrie case isn't just about what's happening at the house. It's about what happens after law enforcement arrived. The FBI director publicly criticized the handling of the case. Pima County pushed back. Evidence reportedly went through multiple channels. The public got conflicting narratives about access, timing, then forensic processing. In this section, in this lane, we're going to be talking about something investigators hate discussing publicly. Whether institutional friction may have damaged some of the case itself, and I think friction might be putting it nicely. Jennifer Coffendaffer, retired FBI special agent, with us to help break this down. Law enforcement agencies disagree privately all the time, but when an FBI director, now Cash, has come out and publicly implied critical evidence handling was delayed or mishandled, he did this on Sean Hannity's podcast. What does it tell you about the level of frustration behind the scenes here and just kind of the, I don't know, kind of callous, off-the-cuff kind of way it was delivered on the Sean Hannity podcast? I mean, it's just, it was, I don't know. I'm not surprised, and I'm not saying it was a bad thing that he said what he said. I think it was very kind of just forthcoming and raw about the case. But it certainly has implications as well. What are your thoughts?
Well, the director of the FBI.
Yeah.
I mean, this is really unprecedented. I've talked about the fact that Directors are typically back in for decades, they were figureheads. They were not in the weeds of investigations. That was trickled down to the assistant directors and then down, of course, to the field agents. Remember, it's the field agents that really have most of the power. They're the ones actually working the cases and making the day-to-day decisions. So to see a director point this out, I thought was huge. I mean, it is the biggest slap in the face that I've probably seen ever in any case when you have a director point that kind of finger. And really not even that veiled, Tony, give the implication, like about the DNA and about the issues. You know, I always say this, when you have cracks at the top, you're going to have cracks in an investigation. Having said that, I truly believe the boots on the ground are working well together.
Yeah, I mean, that's, I'm sure there's great investigative work that is going on behind the scenes here. It's just your figureheads are not the greatest, it seems, on this. I mean, and when Cash speaks about this, it makes you go, okay, well, he's not the greatest at decorum to begin with. I mean, is this, is he speaking out of turn? Was that speaking out of turn to say something like that, in your opinion? Was that a wise move to, and I'm not trying to make this a let's criticize Cash Patel segment, but I don't know. Was that a good move? Was it? Is that level of transparency something that is a nice change, and we should have more of that? Or is that someone who really just doesn't quite know the ropes and the cause and effect of speaking out in that sort of way, and someone who really wants to be a field agent and really has no true FBI experience, but is now suddenly the director of it and doesn't quite know his role and the cause and effect of the words that come out of his mouth?
Well, I think if you look at what he promised Trump, he said, listen, I'm going to curb violent crime in cities. We're going to deport everyone we possibly can. And we are going to be transparent in terms of things we're doing, at least, you know, the things they decide they want to be transparent about. And he's transparent for sure on this case. So, you know, I think it just depends on your lens. I mean, you're talking right now to a 25-year-old or a 25-year vet of an institution that I just thought so much of. And we did things so differently when I was in. We were so quiet. We just did our work. And in this new age of social media, and it's a whole different can of worms, I think.
How does that affect the operation of the investigation when things like this are being spoken about publicly? Maybe this is the new norm. Maybe this is how things are going to be going forward, whether it's Cash Patel or whoever is in that position. I don't know. Again, I'm not trying to make this a rip on Cash Patel segment. I'm just trying to understand the dynamics here of what's going on. And if this is how things are being handled now, is this for the better? That's kind of where I'm at. I don't know.
This is the new norm, I think. This is not going away unless they get somebody after Cash Patel. If they hire somebody like a Chris Swecker, who used to be number two, you know, AD over the entire criminal, if they get somebody like that, you're going to see it go back to more how it used to. He will certainly be, he's a great public speaker and he'll come out a little bit more. But, you know, he was considered for the job. If you have somebody like that, an old school that was an FBI agent for decades, or at least 10 years, I think, probably 10 years. I don't know. It was a long time. Maybe it was 2 decades. Anyway, nevertheless, you're going to see that. But this is a new age type person. Cash Patel, I mean, he came in. He said, I'm going to get rid of headquarters. He's getting rid of headquarters. I'm going to take everybody from there and I'm going to put him out in the field. I have to say, he's following through with everything he promised, and we're going to continue to see this. But wow, I think it could have a big effect if he's going to talk about different local offices in this way.
Well, it makes me wonder a little bit, and I'm trying to look at this, you know, with open eyes on every perspective of this, and really kind of take personal opinion and things out of it. In a way, the way that he did call this out, and basically, and I'm just kind of paraphrasing here, but talking about the first, you know, 4 days here, 72 hours of, if we had gotten a call earlier, we could have, we had resources. He said he had a plane ready to go. He had all these things that were ready to go, but they didn't, they weren't, you know, launched because they weren't given permission locally to go in and assist. In a way, it kind of puts other departments on notice to a certain extent of, okay, if you think you can handle this and you really can't, let's, you know, let's be smart about this and let's call in the FBI and let's use the resources when we should and not, you know, think we can handle something that we can't. But at the same time, it also does state, you know, I wonder how different this case would be had they been called in sooner. Two different things, putting other departments on notice, it seems, and also at the same time, what could have been done differently? What do you think we would be sitting here talking about today had the FBI been involved from the first 24 hours?
Well, first, Tony, I do want to say this, is that when you're talking about a public official, which is exactly what Sheriff Nanos is, right? Uh-huh. As opposed to Kash Patel, he's an appointed official. So at any moment, Trump could say you're fired,
yeah.
Right? It's a big difference. But I think it is important to be transparent to the public when you're talking about a public official, not in an after action report, although that might have had less issues with this case. So let me make my point more clear, because I'm not being clear. Tony, when you come out at the beginning of a case, in the middle of a case, and all of this comes to light, just think of what this has done when you talk about the adjudication of the case, the defense attorneys that are drooling to take this case, because we're watching out publicly what Kash Patel is saying about the screw-ups in the case, right? If you don't have that, if Kash Patel doesn't say anything, if Nanos kept his mouth shut, you just have balls that were dropped that nobody's really going to know about. And my belief, you let everybody know about in the after action. You break it out publicly. Oh my gosh, it was 4 days. It went to the wrong lab. But to do it right now in an ongoing case, I think is more detrimental than the good it does. So that's my take on that.
How should Nanos be responding to this sort of criticism? When the interest ultimately for everybody here is finding Nancy Guthrie dead or alive at this point. But it seems to be we're playing more of a ping pong game of ego. It's not my problem. It's not my problem. If I did this, if I did that. It's rather than actually, hey, let's look at the ball here and look at the game and figure out what we need to do best, not, you know, who's swinging something bigger. I mean, that seems to be what this is turning into more than the actual, you know, purpose of the game itself, of finding Nancy.
Well, you're right. I mean, when you look at mainstream media, even social media, even our podcasting, we now have, you know, at least 10 to 25% on Nanos and on the relationship with the FBI, because that is what's front and center, is how has an 84-year-old woman with the abductor on camera not been found?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
90 days in, how, or almost 100, how has that happened? And so that's why you have media, social media, you and me and everybody else going, well, maybe we really need to look at this deeply. And we're seeing all these cracks within the decision-making early on. So I think that that's the genesis for why all of this started, like you said, that we're so off base in terms of Nancy becoming almost an afterthought to the right now. And it's really sad, but when you look at it, it's what are the investigators doing behind the scene? And they're still carrying on no matter what we're talking about.
Yeah. I mean, no matter what the public facing thing is, there are certainly the people on the ground are what matters more than anything else. But I mean, obviously optics are extremely important. It just seems the folks in charge don't seem to grasp that concept very well. There's so much to this that obviously feels like it could be done better. But here's where we're at right now, and you know, hoping for the best. Your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. Those links are in the description.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details. Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details. Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details. Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.